Welcome to the Believer's Walk of Faith, empowering believers through teaching, preaching, and demonstration of the uncompromised Word of God to fulfill their highest calling and change this world through Jesus Christ, to glorify God in all we do, to train up and send out believers, to cover the whole earth with the knowledge of the Lord. Welcome to the Believer's Walk of Faith.
Hello, I'm Bill Winston, and welcome to another program. The program that you're watching is called The Believer's Walk of Faith, where we walk by faith and not by sight. What an exciting program we have for you today. We're teaching on winning the world. Now, this is a topic that's very important in these last days, because there's about 5 billion people out there that need to hear the gospel and come into the kingdom of God. And it's up to you and I to do that. I'm talking about believers right now. If you're here, you're listening to me, and you don't know Christ, this is a good teaching for you to listen to. Now, one of the things you have to do to come into the kingdom and to be saved, you have to hear the word, the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about a word of condemnation, but a word that'll uplift you, a word that'll penetrate our hearts and bring us into a new reality that God loves us and that He's not holding anything against us. You see, Christ died for our sins. On the third day, He arose from the dead. He's alive right now, seated at the right hand of the Father, and He's alive in me. So He paid the price for us all, so all of us can be reconciled to God. Now, when we say reconcile, we mean brought back into proper relationship with our Father. Now, that's the idea. Jesus came to bring us back to the Father, and He did a good job of it. Praise the Lord. Well, I got saved. I want you to be saved and want you to tell others how to be saved. So let's listen to this broadcast. We're talking on winning the world. Let's go into it. Jesus first in winning the world is led by the Spirit of God. He's not led by His flesh, because your flesh doesn't know. But God knows the heart of every person, saved or unsaved. And He knows exactly what it takes to get to that person. Because see, if you're led by the flesh, you'll be witness to somebody or trying to get somebody to go to church and so forth. They ain't ready. They won't be ready till 2009. You know what I'm saying? And you're busy trying to get that person to do something and cooperate with you and something like that. That person's not ready. So God knows exactly who's ready, who you need to sow a seed in, who you need to harvest. Okay? All right. Now, let's just look at this. And look what it said in verse 8. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods will I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I'll restore him fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "This day is what? Salvation come to this house. Forasmuch as he also is a son of who? Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek," come on, "and to save that which is lost." All right? Now, salvation and changing your world and winning the world starts with the right attitude about yourself. Before you take a look at the world, you got to take a look at yourself. Because the attitude that you have about yourself affects what you think about other people. You see, when I was first street preaching, I had this attitude that everybody is going to hell. Now, I'm being transparent now. And I had this Bible, I'm telling you, down there in Tulsa in that supermarket and in that parking lot, I was waving that thing. "Y'all all going to hell. I'm the only one saved up out here in here." Now, that's
was because I had an attitude about myself that was not the attitude of God. And because I was living partially still condemned about my past, I didn't have nothing to give out but condemnation. You got what I'm saying? And when you are condemned in your life, that's what you're going to give out. And when you see preachers and all they want to do is bring folk down, make them feel inferior, make them feel low-rated, try to make them feel guilty, and so forth like that, that ain't the gospel. That's not the gospel. The Holy Spirit doesn't condemn you. He convicts you. Come on, somebody with me here now. And for you to get saved, you need the gospel. You need to have the word of God to come into your heart concerning Christ died for your sins. That on the third day he rose again, he's alive right now, and that he has paid the price so that the wall between you and God has come down. And now you can come back to God and be made whole. This is the gospel. Now, if I want you to be saved, I'm going to have to tell you something about that. I can't condemn you for an hour and then expect you to be saved. Now, what you'll feel is condemned, but that won't save you. You got to hear the gospel. If I want to get a baby, I have to get from the mother, I have to get an egg. And from the father, I got to get a seed or a sperm. And those two must come together. If one of them's missing, I can't have what I want. See, you got to have the Holy Ghost and the Word. If you got the Holy Ghost, but you got a word on condemnation, that ain't gonna do it. You got to get a word on the gospel, for the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that'll believe. Folks, I know. I was going to Holiness Church for a while. So far, I know how it is. I know how it is. And that's why they're small and don't think nobody's saved but them. And I ain't talking about you now. I know you watch me on TV, but I ain't talking about you. I'm just saying, I've been there. I'm saying, it's grace. Come on now. He was full of grace and truth. You see, they had to get the right attitude about the world. Because when the Pharisees talked about the world, they talked about it nasty, man. When they said sinner, they did their mouth even turned down. Sinner. I mean, they could say it as nasty as you want to say it. But they wouldn't go out there to the world. Why? Because the world is looked at by much of the church as the enemy. The world ain't your enemy. The enemy is the devil. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against, come on, principalities. And they're not your enemy out there. That's your harvest. And I want mine. Say amen to this. Let's go to another place. Praise God. Where I have you right now? Luke chapter 19. Let's go over to, if you will, let's go over to John chapter 4. John chapter 4, and then we're going to do 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We'll be done. John chapter 4. Now, are y'all getting me? Jesus said, watch this. I didn't come in the world to condemn the world. That's what he said. He said, they're condemned already. I ain't come to condemn them. They're already condemned. That's why they're acting like a fool. He didn't say that, but that's what I'm saying right there. That's First Winston. Now, came to do is to save them. We came to give them some good news so they'll be willing to leave this. And we can do it through demonstration as well. When somebody comes up here and they know they've lived like a dog all their life and come up here for healing and God heals them, watch them cry. Watch them fall down. Why? Because they didn't know God still loved them. They didn't know it. And that's the good news you're supposed to take to them. You're supposed to be a minister of reconciliation. Supposed to hear it through you. But you can't tell nobody else the love of God and the goodness of God if you ain't experienced it for yourself. You still condemn, talking about your past, talking about all I did in my past, and you know, God, man, you know, God. Hey, listen, wait a minute. I got some good news for you. The past is over. It's past. Now, I'm going to show you some scripture that'll help you. But you got to get rid of that. You can't be crying all the time. All that stuff. All that's a condemned attitude. You're supposed to be full of joy now. You're supposed to know that your sins are blotted out. They'll never be brought up again. You got to know that you can walk on in freedom. You don't have to be concerned about what another man thinks of you. You can't be responding every time somebody say something down to you. You can't get all down and get all mad and so forth. That ain't you they talking to. Anybody that's in Christ is a new creature. Oh, Linda, Passover. You can't save nobody you hate. You white folk, you can't save no black man if you hate it. Black man, you can't save no white man if you hate it. God so loved the world. Praise God, you got to get an attitude that they are not my enemy. Y'all got me preaching up in here. Where did I tell you to turn here? John 4. Look at John 3. I know I'm preaching good. John chapter 3, have you got it? Verse 16. Read it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Stop. See? When Jesus blurted that out, they wanted to kill him. They wanted to keep his love for them. Us four and no more. And that was wrong. And I think some 22 times Jesus made reference in the Gospel of John about the world. And that's one of the reasons they wanted to kill him. Oh, they had God in the synagogue. They had God over here in a box, you know, in that Ark of the Covenant. They had God, but they didn't have God in the world. And he wanted to go into the world. And he wants to go into the world in you. And he's in you right now, and he wants to go into that world. All right, let's just look at this. John chapter 4, verse 1. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. The Holy Ghost is about to lead him through Samaria. Now, I understand, Jews didn't go through there. They didn't go through there. That's kind of like going, you know, I'm gonna go around the south side. You know, I'm going to go around the west side. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going through there. That neighborhood, I ain't going through there. But the Holy Ghost say, go through there. Lord, have mercy. Y'all got to come on with me. Then cometh he to a city which of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near unto the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. And there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus said to her, "Give me to drink, for his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat." How come you think all this took place while his disciples was gone? Because they had some issues with it. Come on, how many in here got issues? You need to get rid of them issues. They ain't doing nothing but tying you up. All right, let's go on down. We'll see this. Then, verse 9, saith the woman of the Samaria to him, "How is it that thou..." No, verse 7. "Then there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus said to her, 'Give me to drink.' For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, 'How is it that thou, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which is a woman of Samaria? For the Jews don't even have any dealings with the Samaritans.'" See, don't want to take it outside. Attitude about the world is wrong. Verse 10, "And Jesus answered and said unto her, 'If thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that said unto thee, "Give me to drink," thou would have asked of him, and he would have given you living water.' The woman said to him, 'Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us this well, the well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle?' And Jesus said unto her, 'Whosoever drink of this water will thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto eternal life.'" You see, anybody that doesn't have Jesus is thirsty. And you got a well inside of you. A well. The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water that I thirst not." Now, she still didn't catch it. "Neither come hither to draw." And Jesus said unto her, "Go call your husband and come hither." The woman answered and said, "I don't have a husband." Jesus said, "That's right. You well said, you don't have a husband. But you've been married 5 times. You've had 5 husbands. And the man who you shacking up with that now, that's not your husband either." Now I'm putting it in today's vernacular. Now, wait a minute. Now, she's about to see something here. And she went on, as the woman said to him, "I perceive that you're a prophet." But notice what he's doing now. He's breaking down. This is spirit-led evangelism. He's breaking down the resistance of this woman. Because he's communicating with her first. He's a rabbi. He got a rabbi robe. She can see that. But here, he's talking with her, who's a woman they normally don't talk to. And then he asks her for some water. Drink out of the same dipper? Now, he makes another revelation. He said, "Go call your husband, come here." "Well, I don't have no husband." "You're right, you don't have a husband. You done been married 5 times. And the one you're shacking up with now, that ain't your husband." Now, he knew all of that and still was talking to her. Because there are folk that if you know, they don't talk to you. Lord have mercy, I can't go into this. I got to jump here only because of time. I'm going to jump all the way over to verse 27. "And upon this came his disciples and marvel that he was talking with this woman." See, they wouldn't go to her. Mm-mm. "Yet no man said, 'What seeketh thou?' or 'Why talketh thou with her?' The woman then left her what? Water pot, and went her way into the city and said to the men. Somebody on the line, men. Now, these brothers, they probably knew her. I ain't gonna say no more about that. Come see a man which told me all the things I ever did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came to him. He took a woman who had been married 5 times and made an evangelist out of her. God so loved the world. Well, praise the Lord. I trust that you enjoy that teaching. Now, again, that is a teaching that has to do with God's blessing and His way of doing things and God's plan for our lives. It is a powerful teaching. Now, this is an offering day. This is a time that you can now have a chance to sow back into the lives or into the ministry as you have been blessed. If you've been watching our programs and been blessed, been helped, and been encouraged by our programs, we just ask you to sow into this ministry. Now, as you sow your financial seed, keep things in mind like this, that there was a woman who had only one meal left, and the man of God was instructed by God and sent to this woman. Now, when he went down there, he asked her to get him some water. She went to get it, but he said, hold it. He said, make me a cake. She said, well, now, wait a minute. I've not just a handful of meal in a barrel. I've just got a little cruse of oil, and I was making a cake for me and my son that we may eat it and die. You see, the famine is on. Well, there may be a famine in your life, and God has just sent you a prophet. That's me. Praise God. I'm saying, if you don't have no other ways, look for the sent one. Because as God sends somebody into your life, He's sending the word in your life, He's sending the person into your life. Now, this ministry opportunity that you can sow in. Now, this woman at first got fear in her mind, because the first thing that happens when you're having a little and think you're going to run out, fear may try to grip your heart. But what you have to do is overcome fear with faith. You have to step out on the word of God. If God says give and it'll be given back to you, believe God over your circumstances. So what did that woman do? She sowed into the life of the man of God, and her barrel of meal began to multiply, and the cruse of oil didn't fall out, didn't fail, and she just had enough all during the famine, and until the rains came, she could be able to be blessed. Now, I'm saying to you, I don't know how long the economic tight places and meltdowns and recession is going to last, but I tell you this, you have a way to operate above it. You can locate the sent one. Praise God. I'm telling you, it's time for you to sow. See, you can get outside of your own abilities, and the things of God are already prepared for us. If you're a believer, if you're a child of the living God, He's made provisions for you. Here's what it says in Psalms chapter 37 and 19. In the days of famine, you shall be satisfied. You see, when times get tough, God's going to give you more than enough. Why? He wants you to be able to glorify Him, but also take care of maybe some other people that are around you. So He's going to give you more than enough, even in tight times. But the way you get into it is one way, by sowing seed. So we are opening up this opportunity for you to sow into this ministry. And as you do sow your seed and get it in mind or put it on a piece of paper of what you're going to sow, you may say, I only have a little bit. It only takes a little bit. But God will multiply back to you a lot. So as you do that, just prepare that seed, and as you prepare to sow it, I want to pray over that seed right now that seed will go and grow and bring you back the harvest that's much beyond your paycheck. This is your time for your jubilee, for your financial miracle. So let's pray over it right now. Father, I pray for those viewing audience who are sowing into this ministry. I pray now for the multiplied return. I pray for an anointing to go and to grow, and that you would bring them back to them quickly, that multiplied return, that they could have much more than they had even at the beginning.
Father, you said in the days of famine, we shall have abundance. We stand on that word and believe that as we've given, now it is given back to us. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, men are giving to our bosom. Father, we thank you for it. Call it done in Jesus' name. Amen. And that's all you have to do. Folks, you don't have to feel it. You don't have to get emotional about it. No, it's just the word of God. We release our faith and God does the work. Well, this is Bill Winston. Thank you so much for partnering with us, for donating into this ministry, or just listening and praying for us. We thank you so much. We just count it a blessing that you have even thought to tune into our programs. We are so blessed by having you to have a relationship with us. Thank you so much. Well, that's all we have for this time. We have the address and phone number on your screen. If you need to call someone or need to order our products, please do so. We have people standing there. They're going to turn it around, that order. We're going to get that order back out to you just as quickly as possible because we know you need the word because the word brings faith. Praise God. This is Bill Winston saying, we'll see you next time. Until then, keep walking by faith.
The church had lost its vision. Had lost the image of who they were supposed to be and what they were supposed to do.
The world is waiting.
There are people out there right now that are waiting on a witness.
Waiting for answers, waiting for peace, waiting to be one. Bill Winston encourages you to unleash the power within you and demonstrate the love of God to the lost. It's time for the people of God to use the power of God for winning the world.
Jesus planned for us to do the same works that he did. Now, one of the things that he did the works for was these works were supposed to give proof of what Jesus said was true and that who Jesus really was.
Order your copy of Winning the World by Bill Winston and you'll learn the purpose of the church, the power you have to be a witness, why you can do the same works that Jesus did, and much more. To order this three-part series entitled Winning the World, simply write to Bill Winston Ministries, P.O. Box 947, Oak Park, Illinois 60303, by bank card at 1-800-711-9327 or online at www.billwinston.org.
Pastor Bill Winston personally invites you to Living Word Christian Center, located at 7600 West Roosevelt Road in Forest Park, Illinois. Our Sunday services are at 7, 9, or 11:15 a.m. with a midweek Bible study Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. For information on visiting our satellite churches located in Colorado Springs, Colorado, and Tuskegee, Alabama, visit our website at www.billwinston.org. Today's message is available in its entirety on CD or DVD when you use the product number on your screen by writing to Bill Winston Ministries, P.O. Box 947, Oak Park, Illinois 60303, by bank card at 1-800-711-9327 or online at www.billwinston.org. The Believer's Walk of Faith is paid for by Bill Winston Ministries partners and viewers.